Check, check.
Check.
Check one.
Check, check, check. A little bit more, please.
Hello,
check,
hello.
Check, check.
Yeah, it's better.
I can't hear that well. Check, check, check.
Hello, hello.
Check
hello,
one, two. Check. We one. Start really hot.
Yeah.
You're very hot.
Coming, Robin?
I'm coming here now. Hello, and welcome to the award-winning Ardent Atheist, where reason reigns supreme. Today's episode brought to you by billions of years of evolution. Sitting next to me is my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson.
Hi, everybody.
You know Heather from the Facebook, on the inner tubes, and from our other podcast, Skeptically Yours. You can find links to our guest website, join our Twitter and Facebook feeds, subscribe to our premium ad-free 90-minute full-length episodes, and our email at ardentatheist.com.
If you'd like to take part in a live chat moderated by the author of the well-known blog, Hit and Miss, Joe Swam, go to ardentatheist.com/live and chat us up right now.
That's right, and please go to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast for free, and write a review. Help us get in the top 10. You may also go to ardentatheist.com/premium and subscribe to our premium ad-free content for a measly $10 per year.
Subscribe now or God will strike you down.
There's no God.
Now subscribe or baby Jesus will be sad.
Okay, there's no baby Jesus.
But isn't that why Brother Richard is here? I mean, to tell us how God and baby Jesus will get us?
No, no, no. Brother Richard is an atheist.
But... oh, you guys are so confusing.
I just think you're easily confused.
Hey, we only have two confusing rules on the show. Rule number one, guests may plug anything they want. We're not hypocrites.
And
go subscribe.
Rule number two, if you're a listener who's ever been offended by anything, get a sledgehammer and destroy your computer now. This show has no restrictions on language or content and certainly has nothing for you, you delusional jerk face. We're coming to you live from E&H Studios in sunny Studio City, California. In the Studio City tonight, we have Brother Richard Haynes and Vince Don Vito. You know these guys from Showbiz.
Showbiz.
We are in Showbiz.
Assalamualaikum.
Assalamualaikum salam.
We're all in
wow,
Showbiz.
Wow, you knew the answer. Hardly anyone ever knows that. That's
no, no.
Good.
Not bad for a Catholic, huh?
Yeah, no kidding. You fucking heretic.
I'm not a big fan of the Muslims, but hey, I know their greeting.
Yeah?
At least I can get in the country. I may not be able to get out.
Right, right, right. So you don't like virgins?
You know, I think the virgin should be here for us.
Yeah?
Not 17... when we're not going to get there.
The thing 72, about it is...
72?
72.
Yeah. The thing about it is you don't know what kind of virgins. They could be 72-year-old virgins or they could be 4-year-olds.
Babies. They could be infants.
They could be infants.
I don't know if that unwrapping the burqa present, it's like Monty Hall.
Yeah. So Vince,
I'll take what's under the burqa, Monty.
Would you like to switch? There's two others.
There's 71 others.
Yeah, there's 70, yeah.
Do you think there's much shaving going on under the burqas?
I don't think there's a bit.
I don't
bit.
Think there is, yeah.
Oh, you guys.
I don't think so.
Let me stop you right there.
You get them young enough, though. You don't
Let
have to worry about
stop
the shaving.
Let me stop you right now. The burqas are not hiding ugly people.
They're not?
No, they're not. They're, the stories good. Abound about how they are dressed really sexily and
to
really...
To the hilt.
Yeah, to the 10th degree.
Yeah, underneath that.
I'm going to fantasize about that.
Yeah, no, hey, listen. I pulling back a burqa. I know it's a crapshoot either way. I mean, I've been driving, looked over the girl, saw her eyes, and that's all I could see in the car, and I'm like, all right. And then I did get a good look. What the fuck was I thinking?
Yep.
So that could happen, but they dress
just like two baggers, or they're two burqas? Is that
Well, I'd love to see penthouse Afghani style.
And you're not the funny one. Shut up.
I just need an opportunity when I'm with Carlos. It's very difficult.
He moves, man.
He moves really fast.
Yeah.
All Carlos. Those accents.
What we're talking about, if you don't know, is that Vince Don Vito, I love your name. It sounds like I should be kissing your ring.
You may.
And by ring, I mean cock. does a show with Carlos Alazraki. Most people can't pronounce that unless they've been punched in the throat. But you guys do a show together.
The Facebook Wars. Correct. We're a little on hiatus at the moment. Carlos is
Man,
doing,
he really is Hollywood, isn't he?
He
on
is.
Hiatus.
He's promoting Planes, the Disney movie. He plays El Chuy. And so he's
Carlos so typecast.
He is a big star. And I'm just happy to be in his shadow some days.
Roger that.
But it's wonderful.
He's fantastic.
He's also very nice.
We had you guys on Skeptically Yours a few months ago. Mm-hmm. It was a great show, despite the fact that you and I didn't get to go religion.
I know, but today we will.
Today we're going to talk about it.
We have eternity and the afterlife to talk about religion.
And I'm just going to sit back here and hide.
Now, you're a Catholic.
Yes.
And so you believe in God, the whole thing. You were raised that way, is that right?
That is correct, sir.
Okay, so you inherited your belief system.
Yes.
All right. And with us also, Brother Richard Haynes, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
He is a. How long were you a pastor?
Send in the choir.
An actual pastor, probably only about 3 or 4 years.
Yeah?
Yeah. And Heather's fondling my mind.
Yeah, she's working on your phallic device.
Yeah, it's kind of fun.
So,
you're catching up for lost time now? Is
yes,
that what's
I
going
am.
On?
Oh, you have no idea.
No, we do. Well, yeah. We have
do.
Every idea.
We do.
Oh, yeah.
You don't know B.J. Kramer.
Yeah, no, he's catching up too, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
Hey, listen, when met Richard, when I met you, you walked right up to me and you said, "I'm Brother Richard Haynes," and you gave me a hug and a nice pat on the ass.
Well, you know.
You, sir.
Because I knew a Catholic was going to be on the show. I was pretending you were like 8 or 9 years old or something like that.
And they're off.
I'm joking.
As he pats me under the table.
That's right.
So, a few years, you were actually preaching the word. Is that
oh,
right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Actually,
tell us where you started. Tell us about your background. Fill us in.
Okay. The funny thing is actually when I was a kid... I was a typical kid of the 70s, you know, the whole interfaith stuff. My mom was Catholic. My dad was Methodist, which meant I went to church never.
Yeah.
My mom, we would maybe go to midnight mass on Christmas, or we would go to sunrise service with the Methodists. So I just sat back, watched my cousins, and I all thought, well, this is kind of bullshit. This doesn't seem right. They're contradicting each other, whatever.
I feel that way, too, sometimes.
Yeah. And then as a big fan of Carl Sagan, everybody's got to love Carl Sagan, watched Cosmos, loved Cosmos. Watching that show determined I didn't believe in God. Didn't know the word atheist, though. Never heard it. If I did, it was only the evil communist, you know. But I was an atheist, and I gave it all up. But... skip forward several years. I ran away from home, had a very abusive childhood, all this horrible stuff. And out of desperation, you know, you never get a chicken sandwich unless somebody tells you about Jesus, you know. So they tell me about Jesus. I probably would have killed myself. I was totally messed up, needed drugs big time. I was able to put Carl Sagan in a little box. I was able to put all this truth and knowledge that I had in a box. Out of desperation, I accepted Jesus, was born again, had a physical experience. I mean, changed my life.
So did I.
I would not be alive today if it wasn't for the church. I was talking about this with somebody the other day.
You and I. You and me.
I mean, people don't understand that, how real it was. Now, psychologically, we can explain that, but it did change my life.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was able to create that little God box in my mind where I wouldn't allow reason in. I could have reason in all these areas except this one little box.
Yeah.
You know, the God was safe inside of there. And I still thought Carl Sagan was the man. He was right. I became a fundamentalist, but it didn't contradict science. I was going to prove to the church that evolution was real and all these kind of things. Became an evangelist, worked with several of the televangelists in one way, shape, or form.
Kenneth Copeland?
He
was my
mole.
He was he was one of my models. He was the guy I was really studying hard.
I was someplace with him one time, and he preached on the sacrifice of lambs for like 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
Way too long.
I'm only good for that first 2.5 hours of lamb sacrifice.
you know,
I really need a hamburger or something.
Yeah. But apparently, you know,
he should have stuck with Stairway to Heaven.
Yes. You know, I preached a sermon one time when I was very young. About, you know, with the whole backwards masking thing.
Yeah.
And then the title was Rock and Roll, Stairway to Heaven or Highway to Hell?
Nice.
That's deep. That's good right there.
That's it? Mike Warnke there. That's right out of the playbook.
Hold on. I was going to do the same thing. What is wrong with this guy over here?
There's a connection there. Wait a minute. Yeah. Whoa. All right, come on.
But anyway, I became a associate minister in a probably one of the first mega churches in the country in Atlanta, Georgia. We had 15,000 members at one point in the 80s, which was a big deal. We, in 1989, had a budget of $250,000 a week, which is unfreaking believable. And it wasn't to get individuals rich or anything like that. It was just to get on more television stations, to get bigger buildings, to do all those kind of things.
Was it a lucrative endeavor for you personally?
Oh, no. I was an associate minister, which meant we did all the work and got none of the money. So, you know, no.
But you were working toward having your own church. That was the goal, right?
It should have been my goal, yes. But I was beat down to the point to where I was a servant of my elders and my bishop.
What do you mean by that?
There's a book called Spiritual Authority, written by Watchman Nee, that talks about being submissive to your elders, and in special and spiritual, yeah, it's really disgusting. It really bothers me now. That's why I'm sick of hearing about the royal baby and the Pope and all this stuff. Anybody that claims divine authority over me, go to hell, fuck off, you know? Anyway, but I digress. Skip forward several years. We have lots of scandals, sex scandals, all these things. 20-year-old guy living with the morals of a 70-year-old while the 70-year-olds are fucking like 20-year-olds.
What's wrong with this picture?
Well, when you're the 20-year-old,
there's no Pope,
a lot.
That's the problem.
Yeah. 20-year-old is a lot, believe me. Somebody tried to cast a demon of masturbation out of me one time. A whole long story. But anyway, I digress again.
Let me see if I understand that right. Yes. Someone tried to, I just want to get the wording right. Someone tried to toss the demons of masturbation out of you?
Oh, yeah.
I want to see that video, my friend.
That's what I thought about it. When it was happening, okay.
They tried to do it with one hand.
Hey, when Jesus was on the cross, he was hung on the cross.
I can see my house from here. Go on.
I was 17 years old, sitting in my church, you know, and the preacher stops the sermon and puts his hand on me and casts the demon of masturbation out of me.
In front of everybody.
Yeah, I was just going to say, did you know this was coming?
Embarrassing. No, but apparently that's what caused it, I think.
What were you doing under your robe at the time?
This is how large of a church were
you
in?
At this point, this church was only a couple hundred people.
See, I could see it. If this story is going to continue on, I know why you left the church out of sheer embarrassment.
No, I had nothing to do with it, but it was very embarrassing. But here's the thing. The Bible says that when a spirit leaves a building, when it leaves a house, and it finds it, it'll come back. And when it finds it swept and clean, and if it's not full with something else, which we said the Holy Spirit, right, it comes back seven times worse. So I'm fine for about 2 weeks, maybe, if I'm lucky. And then I have seven demons, and I have 49. Then it's 249. And then, you know, I mean, I had a
whole... You shot in your own eye, didn't you?
It was rough. It was bad. I mean, and as funny as it sounds, it was really pretty bad. And I went, I would fast. I fasted for like 3 or 4 days, like not eating at all, almost had a wreck in my car because, you know, I had to starve the flesh and feed the spirit, you know?
Wow.
And then I went to the church, the big church, and I'm totally skipping around here, but went to the big church that I became associated with, and this pastor told me, hey, it's okay to masturbate, but Jesus said if you look upon a woman with lust in your heart, that's the sin.
Well, he's supposed to masturbate,
so therefore, that's what he said. He said as long as you can masturbate without thinking about sex, it was okay.
Well, who can do that?
I was willing to try.
Boys can.
And that's when Brother Richard became a bestialist.
No, but you know the... Yeah. The fantasies and weird fetishes you can get looking at shampoo bottles and soap.
That's where I started. I started with everything in the tub. Anything I could suck my penis into.
You can suck your penis?
Yeah, well, into.
Oh, okay.
You squeeze a bottle.
Keep it with suck your
it
penis.
Kinda, cool. It went kind of haywire when I, one day.
Here
I,
we go.
I started looking outside the tub.
Ladies and gentlemen, let us talk about the Prell incident.
It wasn't Prell. You remember the old brushes that we would clean the toilet with?
Okay.
They had bristles, and they had a circular thing. Mm-hmm. And man, just like that, and then and over, and then...
That's painful.
Oh, yeah, that was one of the dumbest things I've ever done.
At the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't
it was
you consider that it might be painful?
I've heard of this before. People say this to me a lot, and the answer is no. I was apparently thinking with my cock.
What?
Yeah.
Men don't do that.
All right?
That's never happened to a man.
It was awful. Okay, everybody's being sarcastic at once. Can we?
Well, I must confess, at one time I was in the shower and I saw a bottle of Bengay and it said may cause warm, you know, sensations.
Oh, yeah.
Let me put that on. That's not a good idea.
No, not at all.
My balls were on fire for a long, long time. Let me tell you that. That was pretty rough. And then you have to fight off demons while your balls are on fire. That's horrible.
And trying to explain to somebody why you're running through the house screaming without a towel on.
And if you put ice on it, it's worse. So.
Oh, I know, because I sat under the cold water. I did ice. I did all that stuff. It was really bad.
So how did you move beyond this process?
Oh, man. It's pretty funny because it's Carl Sagan again.
Yeah.
I came back to Carl Sagan. Like I said, I was trying to prove the church wrong. I was going to... I was convinced I was a fundamentalist 100%. The Bible was the inerrant, inspired word of God. And I knew evolution was real because Carl taught me it was, and he did it so well.
Right.
I knew the universe was billions of years old because Carl taught me. And so I decided, you know, I'm going to sit down with the Bible. Once we left the church, like I said, all these scandals were going on and everything. I was going to, you know, really get it clear.
Okay.
So I sat down with the Bible, didn't take any of my apologetic literature with me or anything. I was just going to figure it out.
Okay.
Started with Noah's Ark.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
When we argue with theists, first of all, when we debate, it's wrong to say, does God exist? Because they always create this God that is pre-Big Bang and outside of space and time and all this kind of bullshit, you know? But we should argue whether there's a theistic God or not. That would be a whole different ballgame.
Right, right.
But anyway, okay, let's give, when we're debating, let's give them Adam and Eve. They can have Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve really did happen. All this stuff happened. Noah's Ark happened 4,500 years ago, according to the Bible time periods. So therefore, all the evolution that's ever happened in the world happened in 4,500 years. Impossible. Darwin never thought that. Dawkins doesn't think that. It took us 12,000 years just to get the dogs that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And what about the fish? Were the saltwater fish killed or the freshwater fish killed? You know, it's kind of confusing. Or both, yeah. How did that work? You know, so that started confusing me because that couldn't have happened because Carl said it couldn't happen, you know? And then I was like, okay, forget that. Let's give them Noah's Ark. Tower of Babel, okay? Tower of Babel happened 2,800 years ago. That means all of mankind was in one place speaking one language 2,800 years ago. Don't think that's true. And it was obviously wasn't true. And that, as dumb as this stuff sounds, that stuff blew me away. You know,
right.
It was like, holy crap, how could this be? The final nail in the coffin was there's a theological principle that sounds totally asinine, but it talks about Jesus being the second Adam and that all sin came into the world through the first Adam, and so redemption comes from the second Adam.
Right.
That, you know, all death, pain, and suffering came from Adam's sin, right?
Yeah.
And what Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost, and that all of Jesus' purpose was to redeem what the first Adam did. And I believed in evolution, so if a fly died, a dog died, dinosaurs, anything died before Adam sinned,
right.
That means death came into the world before sin, then what the hell do you do with Jesus?
You're doing the math.
And it freaked me out.
Yeah.
And I read this creationist book, and this guy said, you can't be both. And I closed the book and said, he's right.
Yeah.
I don't believe in God anymore.
That was it for you?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because Carl was strong.
Carl was strong.
Within you.
And this closing the book, did it happen? Like, was it literally the...
Yes, but I wouldn't call myself an atheist because that scared me.
Me too. I called myself an agnostic for a long time.
I called myself a Christian agnostic.
Well, I really?
Yeah.
You know
that I believe
first?
Jesus died for my sins, but other than that, I didn't know what the hell was
going on. Yeah, a lot of people will discard...
I was scared of hell.
They'll discard the church teachings, but they won't discard the belief in God and Jesus. That's a common first step.
Right.
And some people live their whole lives in that state.
Is that like being a vegetarian but having fish?
Yes, that's a pescatarian.
Yes.
I'm a vegetarian in between meals.
He became a pesca-Christian.
Yes.
I think that's what he became. All right, we're going to talk more right after this. You're listening to Ardent Atheist at ardentatheist.com and available at the iTunes Store. More after this unavoidable interruption.
We've had a lot of people ask us about the comedy sketch clips that we play from the Vile comedy album Chaos Radio, so we are making it available to you. You can buy your favorite tracks from the 23-track record individually for $1, or you can buy the entire recording for $18. Go to gumroad.com/Emery. That's G-U-M as in Mary, R as in refugee, O as in, oh, just go to gumroad.com/Emery and buy the stupid thing.
The sum of all numbers on a roulette wheel is 666. Are you really winning?
Foundation Beyond Belief is a community of compassionate humanists and atheists supporting outstanding charities worldwide. Members sign up for automatic donations starting at $5 a month, then distribute those funds however they wish among the featured charities. To date, this unique humanist organization has raised over $750,000 to make this world a better, more humane place. We don't look to the skies for a better world. Foundation Beyond Belief is humanity at work. Learn more or join us at foundationbeyondbelief.org.
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, We give kids the traditional camp experience, like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs. But we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3, and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the free thought and skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
Did you see that UFO sighting that made the news? What did that latest study about alternative treatments really say? Is this photo making the rounds real or a hoax? Doubtful News is a unique website featuring news about pseudoscience, the paranormal, anomalies, and questionable claims framed with a skeptical view. Come visit DoubtfulNews.com every day for news about cryptozoology, conspiracies, shams, scams, and more. Follow us on Twitter at Doubtful News. Critical thinking is essential in assessing today's news. Doubtful News helps you decide, can you really believe this stuff?
And now back to Ardent Atheist Nonsense You Can Believe In. We're talking with Brother Richard Haynes and Vince Dombito. Thanks again for being here, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Happy to be here.
So, Vince, you have a lot of questions. I saw you making notes.
I do. I think
let's
I
go
think
for
Brother
it.
Richard is, one, an amazing guy, just for his pure experience over these last X
5 minutes.
Years. After the last 5 minutes.
Putting up with me.
But, no, I mean, I was really surprised to hear. I love the, you know, how you were engaged with Sagan and how important that was and running away from home. And you were saved. You were saved. You said I was really struck when you said you acknowledge the fact that you wouldn't be here without being saved.
Right.
And that implies, you know, to me, like there's something outside of yourself happening. And to me, that's what, for
God
lack
is?
Of a better term, God is.
Okay.
Something other than myself changing my course of circumstances.
Sure.
It doesn't necessarily have, you know, clearly happen to be in a church, in a temple, in wherever, under a rainbow. So I think it's a fantastic story, and I think the fantastic story is that you were smart enough to get away from what I would call a bunch of snake charmers in any hierarchy organization. It was something that I was thinking about this afternoon on the way in here. You know, whenever I'm around you guys, I always feel like I'm getting ready for a pelting of some sort.
Really?
And it's just it's not an
You and I did it on your show a couple
times.
Yeah,
and it's not. But it's just like, you know, sometimes you don't know what you're gonna get into.
Right.
So I was thinking,
we pelt with love.
Yeah, and it's cool because once these mics go off, you know we're hugging each other and we're gonna be great.
And
yeah, I try to make sure the listeners understand that. We really try to. What were you gonna say?
Oh, nothing. I was going to say something about an orgy later.
Yes. I was going to say, hugging. Okay, hugging.
Amanda and Heather had the same joke.
Yeah.
But I thought that, you know, for so many, what I, you know, when I'm talking to a non-believer, I think that I'm wondering if they're having an issue with God or the organizations that,
you know,
consider themselves godlike. And I can't defend, nor do I want to. I mean, I don't even want to defend God because I'm not him or her or them. But I certainly can't defend organizations because it'd be like defending the U.S. government, any teaching organization, any scholastic organization, any athletic organization, any civic organization. There are atrocities that
Hello,
happen.
I'm Ed Retard.
My apologies, everybody.
And he's in my pocket. anytime you have an organization, there is an inherent corruptness to the organization.
Right.
And that's what I feel is corrupting any sort of belief.
This is the baby bathwater argument.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what this is. You're saying don't throw the baby out with the bathwater to euphemize what you're saying. And let's talk about this.
Can I point out first?
Yes, yes.
I have a story, obviously. And you name any televangelist, I know stuff about them. I've experienced, worked with them. I have stories, but that has nothing to do with why I don't believe. A lot of people say that. One of my pet peeves, anytime anyone hears that I'm an atheist, they go, oh, what happened?
Yes.
What happened is what happened when I became a believer, because I was desperate and shit happened, and so I said, Jesus, come into my heart. But coming to atheism wasn't because something happened. Forget all the other stuff. Mm-hmm. The stuff maybe made me question and made me look at things, but that was totally independent of the happenings. Mm-hmm. And I understand separating God from the church and all that kind
of stuff. If you're going to give God his savior, if you're going to call God his savior because he ended up not killing himself after finding the church, then how can you not call God his savior from helping him escape the lies that he was embroiled in?
Yeah. I do.
You know what I mean?
I do. I mean, maybe he was saved another, quote-unquote, death from maybe killing this other pastor.
How about this for a novel idea? How about this for a novel idea? How about a God that doesn't let any of that shit happen, that gets in front of the train so that he doesn't have to pull people out of it? Where's that dick? You know what I'm saying?
Well, he wouldn't be a dick if he did that. He'd be nice.
I think all gods are dicks when you really look closely at them.
I mean, ultimately, when I'm having a conversation with a clergyman, priest, rabbi, I have a very good friend who's a rabbi, leads a congregation here not too far away.
Some of my best friends are rabbis.
I ultimately ask them, you know, how do we have this world that God is supposed to exist and we have so much evil? And, you know, they...
Free will.
Yeah.
That's the answer.
Yeah.
They don't exist without each other. And it's
free will's a lie.
Those starving babies have a lot of free will.
The reason free will bothers me, or not free will, but let's take the hell thing, because I went through a huge evolution, to coin a phrase here, and first of all, I wouldn't have been there without the church. No, it was the people, not God, who did make a difference, because they did care about me. They might have been full of shit and they might have been deceived in so many ways, but the people cared about me and helped me and picked me up. And if it wasn't for those people, I probably would have been dead. And atheism has nothing yet to compete with that. And maybe we never will. And
I think that's sad. You want to build that, and I don't think we're going to successfully build it.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if that part will ever actually.
I don't know. Right. Atheists are some of the nicest people.
Of course they are.
Give a shit.
But they don't have that place.
They don't have a church.
Yeah, the community.
It's not about the place per se. It's about the community. And
right.
You know what? To me, as a Roman Catholic, as a Christian, what God inspires me to do is to be an example to other people. Now, I could do it without God, clearly.
I do.
Yes, and yes. But for my point being, the church does a lot, the organizations, what they do around the world in terms of, you know, feeding the poor and clothing and all, and I know we're going to get into the Mother Teresa conversation, but they do a lot of good, and they do a lot of community, and it brings people together. And when I am at church, I feel like a part of belonging. Now, I also belong to this crazy group that I'm sitting here
right
now, and I feel comfortable, and I, in some crazy way, I feel
loved. If you wanted to poison someone, you don't just say, here's some poison, drink it. You take something really good that they like a steak, and mm-hmm. you put the poison in it and stuff. So there might be a lot of good that is done, and the people might believe that it's good, but that doesn't mean that overall there's not some poison in it. And
so
I think
this Kool-Aid that Heather poured for us.
Oh shit!
No, that's just water.
But can we get to the hell thing for a minute? Because that's you brought that up, or the bathwater and all this. I went through this evolution. Like I said, I thought I was this Christian agnostic, you know, and because I was scared of hell.
Yeah.
And hell is the original terroristic threat. Let me tell you. I mean, hell mm-hmm. is the fear of hell is very, very real.
It was meek mild Jesus that brought us hell.
Oh yeah, that scared the hell out of me. Mm-hmm. But one of the first things I grappled with, I kind of became a deist, and then I started questioning hell because I was a fundamentalist and I wanted the Bible to jive. I have more respect for people who follow a rule book and say this is the way it is instead of saying, well, maybe this, maybe that.
Yeah, the Westboro Baptist Church, they're actually fucking doing it. I mean, they are reading the Bible and they are following it.
You know, there's something that I said once, because I'm friends with Nate Phelps, the mm-hmm. outcast.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's something that I created or I told them about that they put on their website now. I'm sorry for that.
That's nice.
No.
That for God so loved the world, the word for world is cosmos, mm-hmm. which has to do with the physical world. It has to do with the people of the world.
Right.
And I was said that sometime with Nate, and now they actually put that on their site, that God loves the world, not the fucking fags in the world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And also, so you're welcome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thanks.
But the whole concept of hell, I started thinking about, like, I love Disney World, you know? You know, I got little girls. We loved to go to Disney World when they were kids. We loved all this stuff. But if somebody called me and said, hey, guess what? You want a two-week vacation to Disney World. You can go anywhere you want, eat in all the villages in Epcot. You can do all this kind of stuff and free of charge. No big deal. Be awesome. But there's only one problem. There's one guy. He's a bad guy. But he's going to be tortured underneath the Epcot ball for 2 weeks. But it's okay because you're going to get all this free stuff. I couldn't do it. But God...
It's immoral to do it.
But God, who created the universe and loves us and knew that the vast majority of the people that he created would choose not to follow him, he was okay to go ahead and create us anyway.
And by the way, I would add to that scenario you painted. I would add that you are able to go because this guy's going to be tortured.
Right.
That's the equation, right?
Why does God have...
Wait
so
a
much love for
where's
torture.
This one? Where's this story in the Bible?
Blood.
Really? Where's this story
the
in the Bible?
Story?
I'm just kidding. The Epcot story.
Because oh. you see the
but that's
it's
hell.
An analog. It's a parallel.
Well, that's what I put earlier. One of the notes that I wrote when Brother Richard was talking was I wrote parables and then equals Bible. So if I now that I'm sort of older, and I look back on these wonderful Aesop's fables that I read as a kid, and
sure.
I go, okay, well, here's the fox and the stork. Well, did the fox really give the stork a plate to drink out of? Of course not. Did the tortoise actually have a race with the hare? Of course not. And I look at the Bible in that same, as an Aesop's fable, and I say...
It's the only way that you can believe in it.
It's the... Because
but then how do you choose what's real?
Well, what I was going to say is, I can't listen to your story about the timeline because your timeline's correct. So it debunks it, so for me, when I look at the Bible, and as Roman Catholics, we're terrible Bible. We don't read the Bible. We get certain passages of the Bible presented to us in a cyclical, seasonal missalette. We do not, when we're at church, the priest does not say, open up your Bibles. There are not Bibles in a Catholic church. There's a missalette, and everything is chosen for us, and they are repeated
every year.
So
how do you pick and choose? Do you believe in a virgin birth?
I don't believe in a virgin birth because it's impossible.
Oh, you're not Catholic then.
But
do you believe in Jesus Christ?
But I believe in Jesus Christ, but I understand that scientifically, that just does not happen.
You're pointing down to your vagina.
My vagina. I did bring my vagina with me tonight.
Okay, listen, we're going to get back to what we're talking about after this, because I want to talk about Jesus Christ with you. After the break, you're listening to Ardent Atheist at ardentatheist.com and available at the iTunes Store. More after this insufferable disruption.
Good news, everyone.
That's right. We have a premium ad-free service. We already give you the free hour of entertainment, but the premium service will allow you to subscribe to the full 90-minute show. It's only $10 per year. We also have another option. That's the pay more if you want button. Every once in a while, someone clicks that button and gives us more than $10 per year. And when you do that, it makes it possible for us to give some of them away. Every once in a while, I get an email from somebody who's held up in bed because they were in a horrible accident, or they're in a place in the world where they don't even have PayPal. Oh, God forbid. So, if you need to subscribe and you can't afford it, throw me an email and let me know. We're going to help you out. But if you can give $10 or more, go. Go give us some more money if you can afford it. There are 30 million accounts on Facebook of people who have already died. Is one of them yours? Find out after the break.
Foundation Beyond Belief is a community of compassionate humanists and atheists supporting outstanding charities worldwide. Members sign up for automatic donations starting at $5 a month, then distribute those funds however they wish among the featured charities. To date, this unique humanist organization has raised over $750,000 to make this world a better, more humane place. We don't look to the skies for a better world. Foundation Beyond Belief is humanity at work. Learn more or join us at foundationbeyondbelief.org.
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, We give kids the traditional camp experience, like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs. But we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3, and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the free thought and skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
Did you see that UFO sighting that made the news? What did that latest study about alternative treatments really say? Is this photo making the rounds real or a hoax? Doubtful News is a unique website featuring news about pseudoscience, the paranormal, anomalies, and questionable claims framed with a skeptical view. Come visit DoubtfulNews.com every day for news about cryptozoology, conspiracies, shams, scams, and more. Follow us on Twitter at Doubtful News. Critical thinking is essential in assessing today's news. Doubtful News helps you decide, can you really believe this stuff?
And now back to Ardent Atheist Nonsense You Can Believe In. We're talking with Brother Richard Haynes and Vince Donvito. Again, thanks for being here, guys.
Thank you.
I can't thank you enough. I know that it's like a lion's den for you sometimes, and I'm trying not to. I had a great time yelling at each other, by the way. It was really fun.
We always do. I mean, they're always fun, lively shows, and that's what, you know, listen, that's what we're trying to do here is, I mean, we're trying to inform on some level. We're trying to, but ultimately we want to be entertaining and give out and be thought-provoking.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, your thoughts might be a little deeper than
mine.
You
know, I always feel guilty about, because I do debates all the time. I do interfaith things and all these things. I hate being the kid that's walking around saying, Santa's not real.
Right, you know, I hate that
because I want to respect what you're doing and let you do your thing, you know. But
it makes us sound a little arrogant, doesn't it?
Sometimes, right?
Sometimes, but sometimes things are bullshit.
You know why I prefer to do it mostly, in my own community. You know, I'm not trying to convert people. This is not an intervention, Vince. although, if you want to convert, let me know.
No, and that's one of my issues with. Sometimes I feel, you know, it was my thought. One of my other thoughts today is I feel like, damn, why do I have to be the defender?
Yeah.
Because I don't go, you know, like I don't go knocking on atheist doors, going, you know, you need to believe in Jesus because it's really important.
Right.
And I feel
everyone else does.
And I, yeah, that's true. Well, you know, we had mentioned our good friend Drew Marks, who hosts Bad Advice. He came over for breakfast the Saturday before last, and just as he was coming up to the door, there were four Jehovah's Witnesses. So,
really?
So there was my closed front door, Drew, and then the Jehovah's behind him. So I let Drew in, and I saw there was the Jehovah's behind, and I said, Drew, come on in. I pointed him, and I said, people, I said, he's Jewish. He's off limits. And then I said to them, I said, I'm a believer in Jesus, so let me be. And I close the door, and I, you know, they have that kind of solemn smile, and I even feel bad.
I invite them in when they come to my door. They've learned not to.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, no, I bring them on in. We talk.
Show them the dildo collection?
Yes.
I have done shocking things like that but I try not to.
I became a part of my church by Mormons knocked on my door. I took them in, and we went to a James Robinson crusade.
Nice.
And,
did you convert them?
They were very confused by the end, I can tell you that.
Right, right.
It's really hard to be religious and have an evil sense of humor, too. It's tricky.
I want to talk to you, Vince. I want to talk to you about Jesus, because do you believe that the words in the Bible represent what Jesus said?
You know, there are some in the Gospels of, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
There's not a lot.
There are some quotations.
Yeah.
I'm okay with them. They've also put him into some interesting feature films.
Right.
And, you know, it's like, you know, we have come to believe that Daniel Day-Lewis sounds like, is Abraham Lincoln.
And your point?
Because there's no one to dispute
right.
what he sounded like or what he looked like outside of one or two pictures that we have of Abraham Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
We have no pictures of Jesus, but we have this representation of this kind of, you know, good-looking, tan, white guy.
Uh-huh.
Right.
With beautiful green eyes. And he preached, and he said things. So, you know, like that evil game of telephone, we start off with the cat is hungry and we get down to your mom's a whore.
Right.
So it's really difficult.
Because that cat is hungry.
Yeah, yeah. If that whore would feed the cat.
Yeah.
Fucking whore.
So it's really difficult to extrapolate what the man said, you know, 2013 years ago.
Yeah.
So do I take it as scripture? I take it in essence as
well,
scripture.
Well, here's some of the essence, if you will. I'm going to play a video for you from a guy I just came across.
I'm sorry, by the way.
Yeah. Here you go.
The cross is being nailed.
Oh, hold on. My apologies, folks. Let me restart this. Here
that
we go.
Jesus.
Hello, I'm Ed Retard. Once a Catholic priest for 5 years in the 1960s. Now an atheist, which means I find no credible evidence for the existence of any God. I'm going to list a bunch of things that the biblical Jesus reportedly said that are, to say the least, problematic. Jesus reportedly said that we should not plan for the future. That is obviously bad advice. He said that the end of the world would come in the lifetimes of his contemporaries, and to this day it has not happened. His followers can handle snakes without danger. His followers can drink poison without harm. To be his follower, you must sell all your possessions. You must love others, but you must hate your mother, your father, your brothers, your sisters. If your hand or your eye would lead you into sin, cut off your hand, gouge out your eye. Jesus did not reportedly say anything about seeking counseling. If you put away your wife and marry another, you are committing adultery. That means that Jesus forbids you to divorce and then marry someone else. You should not pray in public. All your prayers should be done by yourself in secret. That means that Jesus is forbidding you Christians to go to your church services. And you Catholics, who on your church's orders must go to Sunday Mass or else go to hell, you must on Jesus' orders not go to Mass.
There you go. Now, that's some. That's not everything he said in that particular video. Boy, did he go on and on, and I just grabbed...
I'm sure he's got a ton of stuff to talk about.
Well, Edward Tart, by the way, that was a re-edited clip of Edward Tart. He pronounces his name Tard. I can't say it. And I love the word Tard.
Because yeah, I thought I thought it was a gag.
No, it's a re-edit. It's a retard of...
that's a retard.
It's a retread.
That's a retard. But thank you to Edward Tard for giving me permission to use some of his stuff. He says Tard.
T-A-R-T.
Well, wait a minute. I'm going to clear it up right now.
If I were going
Hello, I'm Edward Tard.
Okay. So he says kind of a TV sound. Yeah.
Tard.
Edward Tard.
I believe it's spelled T-A-R-T.
Jesus, special ed.
Jesus was a Jew. He was not a Christian.
Jesus was a Jew, yes.
So that is Old Testament following. And I understand.
Now, they're quoting New Testament stuff. He was quoting New Testament stuff.
That's right.
He wasn't quoting Old Testament stuff. But you already said that you think these are parables and stuff,
it's kind of not fair
I
mean,
for you.
In Sharia law, they're still, you know, cutting off hands and fingers for theft.
They're doing it
Sharia,
right.
Sharia, that's in Christian law.
What that guy was saying, yeah.
That's Christian law.
We're a quote-unquote Christian nation, mm-hmm. and we don't do it mm-hmm. here.
I'll correct you and
we're
say we're not
nation.
A Christian nation.
Yeah,
we are a secular nation by design.
Yes.
And the reason we have so much religious freedom is because we're a secular nation.
Correct.
Because when the religious people were in charge, if you go back and you read the history of Boston and Philadelphia, all this stuff, those people who came here for religious freedom were stoning and killing the people who had other beliefs than them. The only reason we have so much freedom is because we have a secular government that forces that freedom, and so now all of the different types of religions have to get along with
Except
one another.
Except when they're putting crosses on the state grounds.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Is there anything in
If
the
you
Bible?
Would pledge your hand towards your radio right now.
See, it's this is why I do this show. I mean, there's two reasons I do this show. Because religion is a tyranny. Religion forces its morality on my fucking society, in my fucking house, in my bedroom, and in my pants. This is, they try desperately to legislate who I fuck, when I fuck them, and how I fuck them. They try desperately to tell me, they would tell me if they could, what to eat and what not to eat. That's what religion is about. And that's why I stand against it. The second thing I do is offer a community to people like myself who don't otherwise have it. Just to be clear, that's what I do.
In defense of our dear Catholic brother.
Let's hear it.
You mentioned the parables and all these kind of things. And
the hard thing for me is, where do you draw the line? That's why I asked, do you believe in virgin birth or whatever? I mean, how do you pick and choose what you like and what you don't?
You know, and it's difficult, because I'm often saying to people, you know, you can't just take something and choose the best of it and follow it. You know, you can't go, well,
what
I'm
you're doing.
True, and I disagree with some of it. I mean, I believe in a woman's right to choose.
Yeah.
I think in our society, we need place for a woman to, if the case may be, to not have a baby if it's her choice, especially if it's a result of a crime of some nature. But I do believe in the sanctity of life, and I wish that more children were taken, more infants were taken care of and adopted. We're going to different countries to adopt babies.
We have plenty right here.
And we've got a ton right here.
Question,
yeah, I
for
tend
you.
To agree with you on that. But I'm still talking about, sorry, Heather. Do I call you Heather, like Emery?
That's fine. That's fine.
But like I said, but how do you pick and choose? Because you're saying you're Catholic, so that
well, you know,
means
I use
virgin birth, Jesus raised from the dead.
No, I want to use my Catholicism as a guideline for my actions. And, you know, I think if I were to pick someone in the Catholic Church classic Catholic Church, I would probably pick Mary, because Mary was the one without
Which one?
Sin.
Which Mary?
Jesus's mother.
The mother Mary.
And
Magdalene was pretty hot.
She was. Yeah, she was. And she was not without sin. She was very popular, too. She was just as popular with all the Christian
boys. She
was
quite intimate with sin.
So do you believe that Mary remained a virgin until she died?
I couldn't.
Because Protestants, because they said the brother, like James,
right,
the epistle writer, was the brother of Jesus. Protestants think that she had babies,
I mean,
Jesus,
after Jesus. If I was Joseph, I'd be awful pissed if I couldn't get in there, right?
Yeah, no, can you imagine following up? We have enough problems with, you know, ex-boyfriends.
Yeah.
You have to follow up to God's penis. You know, it's
honey, honey, I'm home, but how is that angel Gabriel's cock?
What's more likely? I don't know who said it. It was a re-quote from Hitchens, I think, was re-quoting somebody when he said, and I'm going to botch this again, what's more likely, that God would override the laws of nature, or that a Jewish minx would lie? You're listening to Ardent Atheists. Sorry, just doing a joke. You're listening to Ardent Atheists at ardentatheists.com and available at the iTunes Store. More after this intolerable intermission. And now, our special announcement.
This is a big super shout out to a few of our listeners. Kyle Delaney, Danielle Lucas, Star Emery. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom.
Reverend Herbert Reagan, the Dudist Priest. Ash Adinikov, Jesus Crotch.
What?
David Y.
Whoa.
Cameron Winters, and Joseph Swams. These are some of the people who were chatting on the Wall of Reason last time we were airing. Thanks, everybody. We love seeing all your delicious content.
Before we come back from break, I want to say episode 115 just went up. Now, I want to clarify what episode 115 is. When we were up at GoCast Network, they shut down on us with no warning, and we had a show lined up to do. It was episode 115. And a clerical error on my part, the next show that I recorded here at the house, I called it 116 accidentally, and we left 115 out of our lineup. So, when at TAM, and when we had Joe Swam, that's why I picked it to do it, we had Joe Swam on the show with Father Guido Sarducci,
and
the
Paul
guy
Prevenza.
Who plays him, and Paul Prevenza. Those guys did a show at TAM for us, and I decided to call that 115, and we've just put it back out there for you, and you can go find that. 115 with Paul Prevenza, Don, what is it?
Don Novello.
Novello, thank you. Don Novello, Father Guido Sarducci,
and our own,
of course you would know.
Catholic Italian
that's
knows.
That's exactly right. And now back to Ardent Atheist Nonsense. You can believe him. We're talking with Brother Richard Haynes and Vince Donvito. Guys, again, thank you. It'll be the last time I thank you, except when I thank you at the end of the show.
Yeah.
So
now,
question. Do I get to say it now?
Do it.
Oh, God. Is there anything in the Bible that you find?
Hold on. Men are talking.
Oh!
Had to get it in.
That was Brother Richard, not Brother Vince.
Oh, had to get it in.
You did. And you did.
Yeah. Hey-o.
Hey-o.
So anything in the Bible that you find despicable or something? Anything in the Bible that you just truly don't agree with?
I mean, there were a ton of things that Mr. Tartt said that I find despicable and unconscionable. But
do you think Jesus said those things?
I don't.
You don't think about it, do you?
I don't think
That's
about
the
it.
Truth.
I don't think about it in that sense. And,
I don't say that disparagingly.
No,
I just understand.
And there were one or two things that he said that I, you know, at the time he rattled off so many things that I couldn't keep track. But when he talked about, you know, casting off your worldly possessions, I would take that in the sense that, you know, at the time, in Jerusalem and where Jesus was preaching, they were so under the thumb of the Romans that and being taxed and just their particular lot in life that he was saying, you know, you're following the state instead of following God and being good people. We're being killed. Maybe
when he said render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, he said that. But in those instances, he's not. Mm-hmm. He was telling people to give what they have to the poor, to sell what they have to the poor, hate your mother and father. And in the actual Greek, it is hate. It's not like dislike, less than me. But again, you know, we go into, again, the pick and choose. That's the thing that bothers me, because mm-hmm. obviously that's what you're doing. You're obviously a good guy. If all the world's Catholics were like you, the world would be a better place, obviously.
Well, you give your money to the church,
it's
Vince?
The way I do give a small portion of my money, but I prefer to give my money to other charitable organizations. I volunteer and I do some work with a local cancer support center called WeSpark here in Sherman Oaks. And I prefer to do my...
Does any of your money go to the Catholic Church, though? That's honestly, I'm asking you that question.
I put a little money in, and when I say a little, it's not 10... I don't tithe the way that we're supposed to or we're asked to, which I think is complete bullshit.
Right.
For anyone, not just Catholics. I mean...
How can you get... If I ever challenge anything across mm-hmm. from you, it's going to be this. And you and I went at it on the... Yep. In fact, I'm going to give you kudos before I jump on this. You and I went after it, man. You said to me, what's next, dogs? You said to me, what's next, animals, if we let the gays marry? And you and I went at it. And the next time you were on Skeptically Yours, you told me you had altered your position. Mm-hmm. Is that accurate?
Yeah.
I applaud you for that.
Yeah.
Both as a friend and as a Catholic.
And while you're on that, let's applaud Pope Francis for...
I think that the fucking Vatican is setting back like the Americans were after Bush was in, going, what the fuck have we done? Who have we let in?
Sitting.
Why in the hell did we let this guy have the fucking microphone?
We let one Jesuit in, and look what happens.
Look what happens.
Well, here's the problem with that. Because you, again, with the picking and choosing with the Pope, and the Pope has said good things, atheists could get to heaven because of redemption, and which I tend to, you know, that's a whole other topic, but I kind of agree with that if I was interpreting the Bible that way. But you've got thousands of years of church doctrine that was declared by popes who's sitting on the throne of God,
sitting on some other things too.
Yeah, but you can't just pick and choose and throw away 2,000 years of history.
John Paul was trying to. He didn't succeed like this guy seems to be succeeding. I mean, this guy is just a fucking
and
loose
Pope
cannon.
Palpatine before us should probably be in jail. Palpatine was the Star Wars quote. I don't know if I got that.
Nice.
The Emperor.
He nice.
Just
I was trying to go, like, I don't think I have him on a medal.
But come on. He sat on the freaking panel that the Inquisition people were, you know? I mean, he was the guys who said, that priest, four kids he fucked? Send him over here. The guy should be in jail. I mean, it's bad.
None of your money should be going to this organization.
You know how much
Vince?
I think in California, I could be totally wrong, but I'm pretty sure in California alone, I'm probably totally butchering this, but it was like $750 million or $750 billion, some huge amount of money that just went to settle the lawsuits. And that's tax-free money.
To settle the lawsuits. Not to stop these men from doing this stuff. But just to pay people off.
We've talked about this in the past.
By the way, I would take it in the ass for a couple million dollars if any priests out there who would like to
give
it to me.
And a movie?
Yes.
You got a couple million dollars. Hell yes.
Going rate on Craigslist is 50. You're fucked here.
$50?
50. Holy cow.
50.
Yeah, most of them are free.
Yeah, there's probably for some free ones out there.
You got... When we talk about any abuse in that especially happened in the Catholic Church, it raises your blood pressure to a degree that is...
Why doesn't everyone walk away and let them crumble?
Yeah, don't you feel like you're condoning it kind of by doing it?
I don't, and it's what I was saying before about is it just God or is it the organizations? Because there's abuse in every organization.
But you're not giving your money to God, you're giving it to the church.
Yeah.
Well, we also give our money to the government.
I don't.
Not on purpose.
Not willingly, should I say.
The only time I give my money to the government is under force, when they force
under
me
gun.
To do it.
Yeah, they'll kill you if you don't.
Well, they don't. They come into your bank account and take it out.
Well, if you owe enough, maybe they will.
That's what they do. And that's how
that's
they get
it. That's a whole other show,
my
right?
libertarian
That's how they get it from me.
Is coming out here.
I don't do the taxes. It's as bad as religion, but go on.
So I do believe that these individuals, whoever they are, should be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. They should be put in jail. They should not have been protected. But I also, one of the points that I've made in the past is when your friend, your colleague, is accused of something bad, our first instinct as human beings is to protect them. And that's maybe an instinct.
That should never be. If you're a smart, intelligent, caring, loving, moral person, that should never be how you do it. And for the record, I don't. The minute someone in my fucking tent shows, I'll tell you right now, Dusty Smith. When I found out Dusty Smith is running what is ostensibly an internet scam.
We're talking to you, Dusty Smith.
When I
Dusty
found it
Smith.
Out, I called him out. Yeah. And I love Dusty Smith.
I love him too, and it's
not,
really sad.
I've never heard this. What's going
do
on?
Do not
you know
let
about
it.
Dusty
no,
Smith.
I know Dusty. Yes, okay. but I don't know that.
I've been very careful not to overly attack Dusty.
Right.
But I'm using Dusty as an illustration. Until the day that Dusty calls me, texts me, emails me, and says, "You were right. What I was doing was a scam, and I shouldn't have been doing it. And I'm a skeptic, and I'm an atheist, and I'm for morality." When he says that to me and apologizes to the public for running the scam he's running, then and until then, I'm done being an advocate for Dusty. I still love his atheist voice, and I'm glad he's still doing it. I don't think I'm not trying to silence him, but I'm absolutely not going to stand by and be party to what he does and let anybody not. It's called Adult Autopilot, by the way. You can find it at adultautopilot.com, and it's Dusty Smith's. It's not a pyramid scheme in the truest sense, but it is absolutely a dishonest scam when you listen to what he claims on video that he can do for you in terms of earnings.
You know, this is and that's a great thing. And what I wrote down,
and he's an atheist. So when, you get that, right?
What I wrote down what you were saying is I just wrote down morality, mm-hmm. and I think it's something that's missing on every area, every arena, every.
Of society,
every step
every
of
corner.
Our world yeah. is we're missing morality. We're missing right. Just and when it gets down to holding a door for somebody, it gets down to helping someone. It gets down to the easiest, simplest thing. It gets down to being gracious. It gets down to being thankful and generous to our brothers or sisters.
So where
or
does
whoever.
Morality come from?
Where do you get it? Well, how do you define your morality,
well,
sir?
And again, it's what I was saying before. Is I define my morality as it was, you know, I inherited it, as it was given to me, mostly through the church, but probably more through, obviously, my parents and their yelling and screaming at each other.
Yeah.
I hit it on the head when you said the morality comes from family and the people around us. But I think history shows us that the morality of the church and even our interpretation of the Bible has evolved along with the morality of society. There's no way you can't say Old Testament and New Testament that slavery is okay, because it does say it is. Mm-hmm. Same with women should be silent in the church. Same with, you know, stoning homosexuals. But as society changes, the church reinterprets the Bible, and you have Christian apologetics who come through and say, oh, well, this really meant this and this really meant that. And they have all these reinterpretations of things. Like, I promise you, in 20 years from now, I promise you, the Christian church is going to start saying, oh, we misunderstood homosexuality in the Bible. Mm-hmm. It doesn't say, and there's people already starting this. It's not that it's wrong to have homosexual sex. It's wrong because it says a man should not lie with another man as he does with a woman. It means a heterosexual man should not have homosexual sex. And they're going to start reinterpreting this stuff and going through it and saying, oh, well, Jesus loved them all along, just like he. Oh, well, look, we're not neither bond nor free. We're not Jew nor Greek. And slavery is bad. And it always was. We just misinterpreted it.
Well, yeah, I hope it happens in 20 years. But they're saying
in 30 years,
we're not going to have a church.
The morality changed to the right. times, not
we're
the
gonna
church.
We're going to have an atheist church.
Right. If the Bible is the source of morality, if God is the source of morality, it should change. It should never change.
Right.
I am today, yesterday, and forever. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is God. It should not change with
us. In Leviticus, he found joy in the murder of a dove. That is the God that you worship, my friend. We're going to talk more about that when we come back to the premium portion of the show.
That's
it for the 3 hour. We'll be making the full 90 minutes
Bill
available.
O'Reilly here somewhere.
We'll be making the full 90 minutes available to our premium subscribers very soon. I want to thank our guest, Brother Richard Haynes, Vince Donvito. I also want to thank my co-host, Heather Henderson. Tune in next week when our guest will be...
Believable people.
And we'll be talking about...
People's beliefs.
Oh, I see. You're doing a wordplay. That wasn't aimed at you. All right. That's just been the free version of episode 125, another show moving off without a hitch.
We miss you, Hitch.
I'm your host, Emery Emery.
And I'm Heather Henderson, our theme music courtesy of the sound editor of The Aristocrats, Eric Wilson. And special thanks to our Wall of Reason moderator, Joseph, we miss him, Swam.
Yeah.
And our digital publicist and web guru, Cameron, we diss him, Winters.
Ah, we diss him because it rhymes with miss. That was awesome. Some characters mentioned in this podcast are completely fictitious. Any resemblance to real persons living or dead is purely wishful thinking. You guys have anything to plug?
I do. I've got Garbo's Cuban Lover in West Hollywood. It's a play that I'm working on. It runs through April 25th, and the soon-to-be-released web series with Carlos Alasraqui and myself called Live from the Bowl.
That's nice. Let's hear where they. Where can they find you, Brother Richard?
AtheistNexus.org. I tweet at Brother Richard. And you can also go to the AAA, not the car place, but the Atheist Alliance of America conference in Boston.
You've been listening to Ardent Atheist. Ardent Atheist is a product of natural selection.